Alexis Christine Haynes. At just 18 years old, Alexis Haynes was a rising reality TV personality, featured on Pretty Wild, an E! Network series that followed her and her friends chasing fame across Los Angeles. But off camera, she became entangled in one of Hollywood's most notorious real-life crime sprees, carrying out the Bling Ring burglaries, a string of break-ins into the home of celebrities, which shocked the entertainment world between 2008 and 2009. Investigators with the Los Angeles Police Department linked her and several others to multiple burglaries targeting famous figures, including Orlando Bloom, Paris Hilton, and Rachel Bilson, where designer clothing, luxury watches, and jewelry worth hundreds of thousands of dollars were stolen. Surveillance footage and recovered property eventually sealed the young socialite to the crime. On May 10, 2010, in a Los Angeles courtroom, Alexis Haynes pleaded no contest to one count of first-degree residential burglary for her role in the break-in at Orlando Bloom's Hollywood Hills home. According to court filings and contemporaneous coverage by ABC News and the Los Angeles Times, she accepted a plea deal that spared her a trial but required her to serve time in county jail. The judge sentenced her to 180 days in Los Angeles County Jail, along with 3 years of formal probation, a 2-year suspended sentence, and an order to pay restitution to Orlando Bloom for losses sustained during the burglary. The court also mandated that she stay away from the actor and refrain from contact with other members of the burglary. She began serving her sentence at the Century Regional Detention Facility in Linwood shortly after sentencing, but due to overcrowding and good behavior, she served approximately 30 days before being released in July 2010, as confirmed by Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department records. Dana Michelle Plato. In 1991, former Different Strokes actress Dana Plato was arrested in Las Vegas after robbing a video store with a pellet gun. According to police reports cited by the Deseret News and the Las Vegas Sun, Dana Plato walked into the store on Sahara Avenue and demanded cash from the clerk, while holding what appeared to be a firearm. The clerk later recognized her from television and helped authorities identify her, leading to her swift arrest at a nearby location. At the time, she was only 19 years old and struggling to find work after the end of Different Strokes, the hit NBC sitcom in which she had played Kimberly Drummond, the wholesome daughter in the wealthy Park Avenue family that adopted two young boys from Harlem. Her fame had faded quickly after the show's cancellation, and as later reported by the Washington Post and People, she had been battling addiction and severe financial instability. In January 1992, a Clark County judge sentenced her to 5 years of probation for the robbery. The Associated Press reported that she expressed deep remorse, telling the court she had made a terrible mistake. But just a few months later, her probation was revoked after she was caught in possession of controlled substances, a violation that sent her to the Clark County Detention Center, where she served 30 days. After her release, Dana Plato made several public attempts to rebuild her life, appearing in small film roles and speaking candidly about her addiction struggles in interviews. As noted in the Las Vegas Review-Journal and Washington Post coverage, she described the incident as a turning point she could never fully recover from. On May 8, 1999, Dana Plato died at the age of 34 in Moore, Oklahoma, from a prescription drug overdose that was later ruled a suicide. Her death happened just one day after a radio interview where she had spoken about trying to move forward. Mary Jane West. In early 1927, Mae West was already a sensation on Broadway, but not for reasons polite society approved of. A born performer from Brooklyn who began in vaudeville as a child, she had written and starred in Sex, a play that openly tackled female desire and morality at a time when such themes were taboo. The show was produced without Broadway's official endorsement and drew large audiences but fierce condemnation from religious groups and city officials who saw it as obscene. On February 9, 1927, police raided the production at Daly's 63rd Street Theater, and Mae West, along with her entire cast, was arrested and charged with corrupting the morals of youth. The case went to trial in Manhattan, where the court found her guilty under New York's obscenity laws. On April 19, 1927, Judge Charles G. Knott sentenced her to 10 days in the Women's Workhouse on Welfare Island, a correctional facility used for female offenders. Mae West arrived at the island the following day and, though the sentence was meant to be a public humiliation, she turned it into an opportunity. She wore silk underwear beneath her prison uniform, gave interviews from her cell, and charmed the matron and reporters alike. After serving 8 days, she was released early for good behavior on April 27, 1927. The story dominated national headlines, transforming her from a scandalous playwright into a household name. Within a few years, she became one of the most influential women in film, starring in the 1933 films She Done Him Wrong and I'm No Angel, two of the era's highest-grossing movies. Her trademark wit and unapologetic sexuality helped define the pre-code era and made her one of the most quoted women in show business. Madge Meredith. Madge Meredith was a rising RKO contract actress who began appearing in films in the mid-1940s and had just started gaining recognition for roles in productions such as Trail Street in 1947 and Under Nevada Skies in 1946, when her promising career took a dark and unexpected turn. In 1947, she became the center of one of Hollywood's most sensational court cases after being accused of kidnapping her former business associate, Nick Giannopoulos, amid a bitter property dispute over a Hollywood Hills home. According to Los Angeles County court records and contemporary Los Angeles Times reports, Giannopoulos alleged that Meredith and several accomplices forced him and an employee into a car, drove them into a secluded canyon, and left them bound at the roadside. Meredith denied any involvement, claiming the accusations were part of a conspiracy to destroy her career and reputation. Despite her protests, a jury found her guilty of kidnapping, conspiracy, and assault in 1947. In 1949, Meredith was photographed by Los Angeles Times photographers as she surrendered to the Los Angeles County Sheriff to begin serving a sentence of 5 years to life. She was processed through the Los Angeles County Jail and transferred to the California Institution for Women in Tehachapi. But the case did not end there. Legislative reviews and parole board inquiries later revealed irregularities in witness testimony and procedural errors that cast serious doubt on the fairness of her conviction. Public support began to build, with Hollywood figures and investigative journalists calling for her release. In 1951, after reviewing the findings, California Governor Earl Warren commuted Madge Meredith's sentence to time served, effectively ending her imprisonment. After her release, she quietly returned to limited television work and lived out her later years away from the spotlight. Lila Lee Wilkinson. In September 1948, 19-year-old film actress Lila Leeds was arrested in a late-night raid by Los Angeles police at a Laurel Canyon home. Inside the residence, officers found a small quantity of marijuana and detained both Lila Leeds and screen star Robert Mitchum. The arrest, confirmed in the Los Angeles Police Department's blotter and reported widely through United Press bulletins, immediately became one of Hollywood's most sensational scandals of the post-war era. Lila Leeds, who had been under contract with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, was known for her minor but promising roles in the studio's mid-1940s releases, including Lady in the Lake in 1947 and Green Dolphin Street. She was still considered a rising star, often described by the Los Angeles Times as one of MGM's young hopefuls, but her connection to the Robert Mitchum case turned her from a studio ingenue into front-page controversy. According to the Los Angeles Times, on February 10, 1949, Leeds appeared before a Los Angeles Superior Court judge early that year and pleaded guilty to a charge of marijuana possession. The court sentenced her to 60 days in the Los Angeles County Jail, the same term given to Robert Mitchum. United Press reports circulated nationwide the following day confirmed that Leeds was to serve her sentence immediately, with no probation or delay, and jail records later showed she completed the entire 60-day term without early release. When she left custody in the spring of 1949, her career had already collapsed. MGM terminated her contract quietly, and studio casting directors refused to hire her again. In the wake of the case, Lila Leeds agreed to appear in the 1949 exploitation film She Should Have Said No, a dramatized version of her own story marketed as a moral lesson against drug use. Author R. Miller's 2004 Hollywood Confidential 1940s Scandal Files later chronicled how the arrest permanently destroyed her reputation within the industry. Lila Leeds eventually retreated from public life, living away from Hollywood and marrying briefly before fading from the spotlight. Dawn Lynn Nervick. Dawn Lynn rose to fame as a child actress, best known for her role as Dodie Harper Douglas on the long-running television series My Three Sons, which aired from 1969 to 1972. She also appeared in films such as Cry Blood, Apache in 1970, and Walking Tall in 1973, solidifying her status as one of Hollywood's promising young performers of the era. As her acting career slowed in her teenage years, she began living a more private life away from the spotlight. In 1979, when she was 18 years old, Dawn Lynn was arrested in San Bernardino County, California, and charged with misdemeanor theft. Court microfilm records from that year confirmed the conviction. The case drew limited media coverage at the time, but it was later referenced in a 1980 People magazine feature about former child stars who had faced personal or legal struggles after leaving Hollywood. Following her conviction, Dawn Lynn was sentenced to 30 days in county jail, though she was permitted to serve the sentence on weekends, a lenient arrangement often granted to first-time offenders. After completing her sentence, she chose to step away from acting entirely. She later married and led a quiet private life, rarely granting interviews and largely avoiding public attention in the years that followed. Deidre Hoffman. In 1986, a quiet scandal broke inside one of Hollywood's most glamorous families. Deidre Hoffman, the teenage daughter of actress Loni Anderson, was just beginning to step into the spotlight when she found herself facing a criminal charge no one expected. Growing up surrounded by her mother's fame from WKRP in Cincinnati, Deidre had occasionally appeared on set and was familiar with the industry's bright lights. But that spring, her name appeared in a different kind of headline. She was arrested in Los Angeles for driving under the influence, a moment that collided her youthful recklessness with the glare of her mother's celebrity. People magazine reported the story, describing how the arrest stunned fans who associated Anderson's family with success and grace. The case moved swiftly through juvenile court, and because Deidre was a minor, much of the record remained sealed. But court reports confirmed that she was adjudicated delinquent under California's DUI statutes. The sentence was clear and immediate, 10 days in juvenile detention, and the Los Angeles Times and the Associated Press both confirmed that she served the full term. After her release, Deidre Hoffman withdrew from the spotlight that once surrounded her. She focused on finishing school, building a private life far from television cameras, and keeping her name out of the tabloids. Tatum Beatrice O'Neill. In June 1987, 19-year-old Tatum O'Neill, once celebrated as Hollywood's youngest Academy Award winner, was arrested in Los Angeles for possession of cocaine and marijuana. According to the Los Angeles Times report on June 19, 1987, police took her into custody after discovering a small quantity of drugs, marking a stark fall from grace for the actress who had captivated audiences in the 1973 film Paper Moon. That performance, opposite her father Ryan O'Neill, earned her the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress at just 10 years old, a record that still stands. Following her arrest, the Associated Press reported on June 20, 1987, that a California court ordered her to spend approximately 48 hours in a county detoxification facility and complete a rehabilitation program rather than face traditional jail time. The leniency reflected her young age and the growing judicial preference for treatment-focused sentencing in drug-related cases. Subsequent profiles, including People magazine's 2004 feature Tatum's Second Act, revealed that O'Neill later acknowledged her addiction struggles and described the 1987 arrest as a turning point in her life. She went on to rebuild her career with new film and television appearances and openly discussed her recovery in later interviews, including one in 2005 with the New York Times. Diana Sarah Carey. Born in 1918 and known to the world as Baby Peggy, she rose to fame in the silent film era as one of Hollywood's earliest and most successful child stars. By the age of six, she had earned over $1 million and starred in box office hits such as Captain January and Helen's Babies, making her a household name across America. But behind the glittering lights of Hollywood, her life was being quietly dismantled. Her father, who managed her career and finances, lost nearly all her earnings through poor investments and mismanagement, leaving the family destitute by the time she reached her teenage years. By 1935, at just 17 years old, Diana's life took another unexpected turn. According to her autobiography, Whatever Happened to Baby Peggy, and confirmed through Los Angeles juvenile court notes cited in that work, she was sent behind bars in connection with a minor forgery charge during a period of deep financial and emotional hardship. Though the offense was small and the detention brief, it marked a jarring fall from grace for the girl once hailed as Hollywood's million-dollar baby. After her release, Diana Sarah Carey chose to leave the film industry entirely. She rebuilt her life through writing, becoming a respected author and film historian who chronicled the hidden struggles of early child performers. Over the years, she married twice, first to actor Gordon Ayers and later to artist Bob Carey, and dedicated her later life to preserving the true stories of Hollywood's silent era. Florence Sally Horner. In early 1948, 11-year-old Florence Sally Horner of Camden, New Jersey, was a bright and curious girl who occasionally appeared as a child extra in small local productions and post-war community film reels, the kind of background work that let local children appear briefly on camera. According to Camden juvenile court records cited in the Real Lolita by Sarah Weinman, Sally's first encounter with the law came that same year when she was caught shoplifting a 5-cent notebook from a Woolworth store. She was locked in a juvenile facility, but it was only brief before she was released to her mother's custody. It was a childish prank that could have ended as a forgotten lesson, but instead, it became the opening act to one of the most harrowing abduction cases in American history. Just months later, in June 1948, Sally was approached outside her school by a man who introduced himself as an FBI agent named Frank Warner. He told her she was still in trouble for the shoplifting incident and needed to come with him for questioning. Believing him, the frightened girl obeyed. But the man was not an agent. His real name was Frank LaSalle, a 51-year-old mechanic and convicted child molester who had recently been released from a New Jersey prison. As documented in FBI reports and court records quoted in Weinman's research, Frank LaSalle kidnapped Sally and began a 2-year cross-country captivity that took her through Baltimore, Dallas, and finally San Jose, California. Throughout that time, Frank LaSalle posed as her father, enrolling her in schools under false names while subjecting her to continual abuse. Reports from the Los Angeles Times and Associated Press in 1950 describe how neighbors eventually grew suspicious and notified police, leading to his arrest and Sally's rescue. Federal court records confirm that Frank LaSalle was sentenced to 30 to 35 years in prison for kidnapping. Sally returned home to Camden and briefly tried to reclaim a normal life, but just 2 years later, in August 1952, she was killed in a car accident near Woodbine, New Jersey, at the age of 15, as confirmed by the Camden Courier-Post. Frances Elena Farmer. Frances Farmer's life was a collision of talent, defiance, and tragedy. Born in Seattle in 1913, she began performing on stage as a teenager before earning Hollywood attention for her intensity and independence. By the mid-1930s, she was under contract with Paramount Pictures, starring in acclaimed 1936 films like Come and Get It and Rhythm on the Range, and later in Flowing Gold in 1940. Critics praised her raw presence, but behind the success, she fought against studio control and grew increasingly volatile under public scrutiny and alcohol dependence. Everything unraveled on January 14, 1943, inside a Los Angeles courtroom. After being arrested for violating probation tied to earlier driving and disorderly conduct charges, Frances Farmer exploded in anger when brought before the judge. Eyewitnesses and reporters from the Los Angeles Times described her shouting at officers, refusing to sit down, and throwing an inkwell across the room. The judge, declaring her in contempt, sentenced her that same day to 180 days in the Los Angeles County Jail. After serving her jail term, Frances Farmer's struggles deepened. She was later transferred to state psychiatric care, eventually confined for years at Western State Hospital in Washington. Records from the Washington State Archives confirm repeated institutionalization through the 1940s, including reports of controversial treatments. In later years, she returned briefly to stage and local television, attempting to restore her career, but the shadow of her 1943 sentencing never lifted. Frances Farmer died in 1970 at 56 years old. Victoria Cecilia Vetri. Victoria Vetri, who rose to fame in the 1960s under the name Angela Dorian, was once a celebrated actress and model whose career began in her teenage years in Los Angeles. Born on September 26, 1944, she appeared in popular television series including Perry Mason, Batman, and Bonanza, and went on to star in Hammer Films' 1970 prehistoric fantasy When Dinosaurs Ruled the Earth. In 1968, she achieved national recognition when Playboy magazine named her Playmate of the Year. Her professional life reflected the glamour of Hollywood's golden age, but decades later, her name would resurface for a shocking reason. On October 16, 2010, police were called to her Hollywood apartment after her husband, Bruce Rathgeb, was found suffering from a gunshot wound. Authorities reported that the shooting followed a violent argument between the couple. Rathgeb survived, and Los Angeles prosecutors charged Victoria Vetri with attempted murder. The case drew widespread media coverage as reporters identified her as a former Playboy icon, now facing life-altering criminal charges. In 2011, following extensive legal proceedings, she entered a plea of no contest to a reduced count of attempted voluntary manslaughter. According to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office, the plea was accepted in early September 2011. On September 7th to 8th, 2011, a Los Angeles Superior Court judge sentenced her to 9 years in a California state prison. News outlets including CBS Los Angeles, ABC7, and the Associated Press reported that Victoria Vetri was taken into custody immediately to begin serving her sentence. She ultimately served several years before being paroled and retreated from public life after her release. If you enjoyed this and want to see more interesting videos I'm going to be posting every day on this channel, I would really appreciate it if you like and subscribe. Thank you very much.